This is radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1. Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
Welcome to the Zion Hill Church Family Broadcast, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Nestled in the vibrant community of Pineville, Louisiana, under the compassionate leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydera, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZIONHILL.com. Now, let's join the broadcast, already in progress.
If you have your Bible with you, will you please turn with me to the book of Revelations? We are grateful to those of you that helped with our decorations this morning. Thank you for all that you do for the work of the ministry. To all of our guests, we invite you to please come back to be with us. This is one church that you can always count on for a great worship experience. Thanks to our music department, we appreciate your ministry. Amen. All of our musicians, thank you for your faithfulness. The book of Revelations, chapter 1. Verse 18. Just one verse. Revelations chapter 1, verse 18. The word of God says, I am he that liveth. I can stop there and have church. He goes on to say, that let the record show I was dead. I like that choice of word. I was dead. And now you say, behold, I am alive. For how long? Make sure that's in your Bible. And then Jesus, amen, himself. Just in case some of you don't show up, every now and then a preacher have to learn to amen himself or herself. And he said, in case you don't know, he has the keys of hell and of death. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for this Resurrection Sunday. Thank you, O God, for the work that you did for our redemption. Thank you that you are alive forevermore. Holy Spirit, speak to us this morning. Bless your people in a very special way. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. For a few minutes, I want to talk to you on the subject titled, Because He Lives. Because He Lives. The passage I just read to your hearing was Jesus Christ introducing himself to you and me this morning. And he said, just in case you don't know, I was dead. But right now, I am alive. And then he told you how long he'll be alive. forevermore. And he said, Amen. My assignment this morning is to share with you the story of his resurrection, and also to share with you how he was dead and how he's now alive, and also to share with you how that applies to you. When it comes to Jesus Christ, his story begins from the creation of the world. He was there with the Father. Am I right about it? And then in John 3:16, you hear God says, God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that anyone who will believe in him, that person shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let me stop there to tell somebody this morning, if you don't know him as your Lord and as your Savior, this is a good day to accept Jesus into your heart. Jesus came to this world. He loved God's people. He ministered to us while he was on earth. He healed. He forgave. He preached. He teach. He wrought many miracles. Am I right about it? Then somewhere along the way, he began to prophesy and predict his own death, burial, and resurrection. So he knew his assignment on earth. He knew what he was sent here to do. And he does not want anyone to be in the dark. He began to explain to his disciples. On four different occasions, he told them what is going to happen. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, for example, he told them he will be betrayed, he will be rejected. Again, you see it in Mark chapter 8, verse 31. He told his disciples, he will also be arrested, he will be mistreated, and he will suffer. Again, you see it in Luke chapter 9, verse 22. He talks about he will be killed, he will be buried, and on the third day, he will rise again. Now, although he was telling them and he told them repeatedly, sometimes people are hard of hearing. And sometimes we hear things, but we don't believe it. Am I right about that? You ought to say, ouch, because I'm talking about you and me. Many times my wife have to tell me something and have to say it again just because I didn't pick it up the first time. But everything Jesus told his disciples eventually was fulfilled. Am I right about that? He was betrayed and he was mistreated and he suffered. You remember the story? He was beaten. They smashed a crown of thorn on his head. They spit on his face. And they eventually hang him on the cross. Am I right about that? In fact, to let you know how accurate this report is, the Bible tells you the street where he was made to carry the cross. Just like you have all kinds of streets here in Pineville, Shamrock Street, Main Street. The Bible says it was on De La Rosa Street. And he was made to carry his cross all the way to a place called Golgotha. And there they crucified him. And the Bible also said there he died. If you follow the account of the Bible, we are told that Joseph of Arimathea came to request for his dead body. Why was that? He wanted to give Jesus at least some decent burial. The Bible also records that Nicodemus was there to help along. And if you follow in the account of the Bible, Jesus was eventually buried in a borrowed tomb. But that story is not over. In fact, this is where it begins. You need to begin to watch the reaction of different people from now on. You don't have a friend until something really happened to you. That's when you will know who and who is your true friend. What about the disciples? The Bible said that they ran away. The Bible said for the most part, they went into hiding. The Bible said they were hiding so much that they locked the doors behind them. And my homeboy, Mr. Peter, said, look, I'm out. I'm going fishing. I can stop there and preach because many people you call your friends, you wait until the going get tough. And then you will see how many of them you can still count on. That was the reaction of his so-called disciples. One of them betrayed him. One of them denied him. And the rest of them deserted him. Let the record show. Then we have the government, the church leaders, the priests, the Pharisees, and decide to see. All of them say, wait a minute, we remember the Joker told us that on the third day he's going to get up. So they went to the governor and requested the governor to secure that tomb. That's in the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 66. They said, governor, we need you to secure that tomb, put a seal, a government seal on it, that nobody should come and mess with this, and then put some military guard to make sure nothing happened. And they said, we're doing that because we don't want a situation where his disciples will come and steal the body, and then we have a bigger mess. I told you about the disciples' reaction. I told you about the church folks' reaction, the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. I told you about the government reaction. But I want you to take note of the reaction of some women. trying to defend myself a little bit this morning because many of you always wonder why I celebrate women in my ministry. Why I allow them to serve, why I allow them to preach, why I level the playing field. Because while all the men ran away, it was the women. So that stood the ground. Am I right about it? The Bible said in the book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 1, also, you can read it again in the book of Luke, chapter 24, beginning from verse 1 through verse 7. The Bible says, after Jesus died, on the first day of the week, the reason why they say first day is because they don't work on the Sabbath. That's another commandment that they honor. So on the first day of the week, the Bible says some women, they got up to do something. And the names of these women were given. So you don't have to guess about it. This is no fairy tales. It's just like this church. I know when the going gets tough, who I can really count on. I don't mind telling you. I rely more on the women of this church. Mama, I don't mind telling you, I just had a birthday. The man gave me $50. The women, they gave me $250. I'm just trying to prove my case. Let the record show. It was the women who showed up. They showed up with spice. They showed up with perfume. They want to anoint the body. Am I still in the book? Now, please permit me to theologize because I'm a theologian. The idea of anointing Jesus was not new. In Mark chapter 14, when you get a chance, read it. A woman came. They are not always on the program. They never have power. They don't have credit card of the church. They're not celebrated. But this woman came. While the other disciples were there, the men running their mouth, the Bible said he opened an alabaster box. And he anointed Jesus Christ with her tears. I wish I could help somebody to understand the Bible. And then he began to wipe Jesus' feet with her hair. I'm teaching you about worship, true worship. And then the Bible said, the alabaster box, she poured everything to anoint Jesus' feet. That's a whole sermon by itself. Will you believe some men? They were complaining. I'm trying to help you to understand where your pastor is coming from. And all you're getting, get understanding. By the way, the name of the man who thought that was a waste. You ever been to one of them where I have a Moshe. Shut up and sit down. What Moshe? Are you not even saved? This man said, Lord, I have a motion. We need to sell this oil instead of wasting it and give it to the poor. They always think about programs because they're living in reason, not in the spirit. And Jesus have to correct him. By the way, him is the same Judas who later on betrayed him. I'm just trying to help you to understand this idea of anointing Jesus was nothing new. Jesus told them, don't stop this woman. You're too slow to understand what she's doing. She's doing a good thing. And what she did, every time the gospel is preached, her name ought to be mentioned. What she did ought to be talked about. Now you see why I'm talking about it. Everywhere the gospel is preached. I thank God for women in ministry. A true pastor knows how to grow the church. Some people just run their mouth, but some people roll their sleeves to do the work of the ministry. Again, you see the same anointing in Mark chapter 16. These women went to the tomb, and the purpose of their going there, again, is to anoint the body of Jesus Christ. Take note, whether the woman in chapter 14 of St. Mark or the women in chapter 16 of St. Mark, both of them, what they are doing is to show love and devotion to Jesus Christ. When they show up at that tomb, they show up to make death sweet. There's a difference between anointing the body and embalming the body. I wish I have time to explain the word of God. Here in America, you embalm the body. But these women didn't go there to embalm the body. They go there to anoint the body. That's a whole sermon by itself. But there's only one problem. You cannot make something that is decaying to smell good. That is why I said in the beginning of this sermon, if you don't know Jesus, make sure today you accept him as your Lord and as your Savior. In the spirit, you are decaying. And you cannot make something that is decaying to smell good. Religion with a dead God will not profit you. I can stop to tell you, simply come to Jesus. My brothers, my sisters, because Jesus recognized what I just told you, that you cannot make a dead thing sweet. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to get rid of death altogether. So on the third day, you know exactly what happened. He got up with all power. And that's what we call resurrection. By the way, please take note, if you are into real understanding of the word, these women, Mary, Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, another woman was there, they never get a chance to anoint him. I told you about the woman with the alabaster box, how he anointed his feet. And he told everybody that this was done as a memorial of his death. But these women that came to the tomb, they never get a chance to anoint Jesus' body. Why? Because when they got there, the Bible said the stone I've been rolled away. Am I helping you to understand the word of God? I'm taking my time. By the way, these women were smart. Maybe I need to wait until Women's Day or something to really teach you all about the value of women in ministry. They were going and they were discussing among themselves. They recognized that they have weak vessel. They're physically weak. That's another lesson for you women. You think you're all that. Just ignorant. They start discussing among themselves. Okay, now we know there's a big stone there. All right? They say, now, we need help. You will make a good wife when you recognize you need help. There are some things that women are just not, you're not supposed to be doing it. Get your man. Say, that's your job. Amen. You're going to Atlanta, Georgia? Let the Negro drive. I'm trying to help somebody. All this stuff you'll be doing in America. Enjoy being a woman. You are a queen. Treat yourself like a queen. Demand for other people to recognize that you're a queen. It is disrespectful to your own self. Trying to be a man. Let me get back in the spirit. They were discussing, okay, there's a big stone there. We're going to anoint, but we need somebody to move the stone. But you all know the story. The angel of the Lord has moved the stone, and Jesus has got up. I finally get to my sermon. Then you come to the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 3. The Bible acknowledges that Jesus has resurrected. And the Bible says he presented himself with many invaluable proof. I wish I have some lawyers in the house. When you have a case in court and you have many, not few, many invaluable proof, you're in good hands. What are these proofs? Let me take some time just to help somebody. If I were in court today, I would say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you can weigh the evidence yourself. The first proof was that there's an empty tomb. The Bible said in Luke chapter 24, verse 2 and 3, the ladies got there, the stone had rolled away, they entered to do what they came to do, and they found out Jesus was gone. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the second proof is that the angel showed up and told the ladies, as my second witness, he said, why are you seeking the living among the dead? He is no longer here. He is risen. And the courthouse, we call that direct testimony. That's not a hearsay. That was somebody who was there, who saw what happened. He's saying, by the way, if you want to see him, go to Galilee. He's waiting for you all there. Remember he told you? Ladies and gentlemen, God always used the angels. to make special announcement. And that's what happened. If you don't believe me, when you get a chance, check out Genesis chapter 18, beginning from verse 1. You will see how God used an angel to announce the birth of Isaac. Yes, Sarah was old. Yes, she was barren. But God used an angel to tell Abraham and Sarah, you're going to have a baby. Again, you see the same thing in the book of Judges, chapter 13, beginning from verse 2. There was a woman by the name Manoah's wife. Again, she was barren. I wish I have time to teach you. Notice one thing that is common with all these people. They were barren. That means if you are lacking anything today, if there's any form of barrenness in your life, God can fill the void. Sarah was barren. God made her to have a child. Manoah's wife was barren. When the angel came to tell her, you're going to have a baby called Samson, and he's going to be a Nazarene. Again, you see it in the book of St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 5. You see, angel Gabriel showed up to talk to a preacher, Zechariah. Again, if you remember what's wrong with his wife, Elizabeth was barren. I can stop there and preach to you because this room is full of people lacking something. What I'm saying to you, you serve a God who knows where the shoe is hurting, who can feel your void. If you receive that, shout amen.
Amen.
I can go on and on to share with you how angels were used. Whenever God is trying to make a special announcement, he sent his angel. It was an angel that spoke to Mary, you're going to have a baby. It was an angel that spoke to the shepherds, a newborn king has been born. It was an angel that spoke to Joseph, don't get mad at your fiancé. That which she's pregnant of is of the Holy Spirit. So here you see an angel again being used. Two of them, they spoke to these women. Direct testimony. He is not dead anymore. He is risen. Then again, you will see, I told you earlier, there were security guards, soldiers, who were guarding the tomb. That's another witness you can call in the courthouse. They went and testified in Matthew chapter 28, verse 11 through verse 13. They told the government what happened. That we were standing with our guns. We were doing our job. All of a sudden, an angel showed up. And we were like dead men. Guess what the government did? Hush. So they pay them up. You're right, preacher. And one of the problems we're dealing with today is that we have a lot of sellout preachers, sellout leaders. Hey, don't turn me off. You know the Lord sent me here. They were there. They saw the resurrection. But now they became a sellout. This community will be a whole lot better if people will stop being a sellout. Yes, I said it. Another witness will be these women I've been talking about. There's a reason why God gave you a lawyer for pastor. I'm just proving my case. But it's a problem back then. Under the law of the Jews, women are not to be believed. Maybe that's where you baptize. Oh, glory. Women cannot be used as a witness in any case. But they were there. Now you see why, when those women went to the disciples and tell them what has happened, will you believe those Negroes didn't believe? The problem with many of you in church today, God is fixing to do great things in your life. The only hold up, you don't believe the power of God. Mark chapter 9 verse 23 says, if you can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. These women knew what happened. They saw what happened. They witnessed the angels. They came to report, but they were not believed. Again, you will see in the book of St. Luke chapter 24, beginning from verse 36, while the disciples were still hiding out in locked door, guess what happened? Jesus stood in the midst of them. And Jesus said, peace, shalom. Another evidence that he's alive. They were shocked. Some of them were scared. Jesus said, don't be afraid. You can touch me. See the wound. The Bible says he even sat down with them and eat with them. And that's when they began to believe. I wish I have time to share with you the testimony of Thomas. I'm praying today that somebody here will believe the report of the Lord. The resurrection of Jesus Christ carries a lot of message. One of those messages is that after you've been through some crisis, you can get back up again. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing right now. But God sent me to tell you, it don't matter what crisis you've been through, you can get back up again. Amen, somebody. Also, notice another message that I picked up in this story. Jesus came back to his disciples and stood in the midst of them. These were the same people that dug him. These were the same people that denied him. These were the same people that deserted him. But when he showed up, he was standing in the midst of them. There's a lesson there. Sometimes the best thing you can do in your understanding of resurrection is to go back. The same people that lied on you. The same people that call you everything but a child of God. You don't need to fight them with muscles and skill. Just show up. Oh, somebody missed a good place to shout. All you need to do is just show up and let the devil know you're still here. Just look at somebody and testify right now, I'm still here. Amen, somebody, I'm still here. He appeared to the same group that had left him. Resurrection, my brothers, my sister, is the ability to come back. Resurrection is the ability to show up to the very people who hurt you. I just gave all of you pastors over there, stop fighting your church members. You're wasting your energy. Just show up. Love the same people that hate your gods. I just bless the pastors. It's not just for pastors only. You know, I have other church members that are not here. People pay attention to what your pastor have to say. He didn't go to America. Many of you think he came here. Bless your heart. He didn't go to Europe. He was not in Africa. He was not in China. He went back to the same people that lied on him. The same people that denied him. The same people that deserted him. He said, I'm here. My brothers, my sisters, you need to stop running from those who hurt you. You need to stop running from those who dog you. Stop running from those who backbite against you. Stop running from those who sabotage you. I'm helping my associate pastors now. There are some things you've got to catch. I'm not standing here for 30 years by chance. You got to learn from resurrection. The more they put you down, the more you keep coming back. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it lives inside of you. When you are sick, that same power will quicken your mortal body. Better know you are in Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, look at the record. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning from verse 3. The Bible says, Jesus Christ died. Amen. The Bible says, he died for our sins. That's something to shout about. So don't let nobody condemn you. Oh, you no good. Oh, you got record. Oh, you been here. Tell them to shut up. Jesus died for your sins. He died for my sins. He died for our sins. The Bible says, according to the scriptures. That same scripture continued to say, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning from verse 3, it says, he was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. And then, look at more witnesses. The Bible says he was seen by Cephas. Who was Cephas? That's Peter. You remember lying Peter? He was seen by Cephas. Keep on reading. He was seen by the 12. Am I still in the book? More witnesses. He was seen by how many? More than 500 people. You keep on. I'm just laying down the foundation so that this jury can easily make a decision. So when some of you go around and say, I don't believe in resurrection, how slow can you be? The Bible said he was seen by James. He was seen by all the disciples. All the disciples. Are you still here? Just think about it. Why do you think these disciples were willing to die for him? Because after they saw the evidence, every doubting Thomas became fully persuaded. All of a sudden, they don't care. John, ladies and gentlemen, I wish I have time to really break down the word. John, they got a big bowl of oil and boiling oil, and they put him there and cover him up. And he still lived. They told these disciples, if you don't stop talking about Jesus, we will kill you and kill all your kinfolk. But the more they told them to be quiet, the disciples, because they've seen the evidence, they said, we cannot but talk about what we have heard and what we have seen. The reason why there are more people outside the church than inside the church is because you church folk, you don't talk about what you've seen, you don't talk about what you heard. And people are looking at your life, they cannot see Jesus. You really want to know the definition of a dead person? A dead person is somebody who got no life. A dead person is somebody that you have to dress him up. You have to pay for him. You have to carry him. And I'm one of those pastors. I'm not here to carry nobody. I will teach you the word of God. It's up to you. Ain't nobody here to babysit you. Grow up. You have to carry the dead person. You got to dress him up. Oh, you can make it. Come on, you can make it. Really? You got to pay his bill. If Christ be risen, then your faith is not in vain. You ought to be able to face every demon and say, I serve a risen Savior. And he is in the world today. I know he's living. It don't matter what anybody say. When I need him, he's always there. He lives. He lives. Not because the preacher said it. Not because the choir sing about it. He lives. He lives within my heart. I woke up this morning within in my spirit. He woke me up this morning. He put food on my table. He put cloth on my back. You better get a clue. This is not a church to babysit nobody. We will tell you what thus says the Lord. And it's up to you to embrace the word and run with it. The disciples, they get it. They finally get it. They were willing. You cannot talk them out of it. You cannot stop them. They become bold. That's right, Pastor. Because they know Jesus is alive and well. Can you handle the truth? We don't need a dead religion. They said, Jesus, tell these people to shut up. He said, if I tell them to shut up, yes, sir, Pastor, the rocks will cry out. I don't know about you. I don't want no rock to cry out for me. I'm the one that God saved. I'm the one that he delivered. I'm the one that he made a way for. Why we have to beg you in church to wave your hand, to shout and clap your hand and sing for joy and give glory to God? Anything that is dead, we're going to bury it. Tell somebody I'm alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because he lives, I finally get to my sermon. Because he lives, I confess today, I confess tomorrow, I confess any demon, because he lives, I'm better off. My sins are forgiven. My life is better. Brother Brown, I was at the barber shop the other day. They said, Pastor, you really blessed. I said, let me tell you the real story. I said, you know what Easter means to me when I was young? That was the time I get a new draw. An African child, you get only 3 times in a year. And Easter time is when you get a new draw. Now I got so many draws, I throw them away. Because he lives, I'm no longer poor. Because he lives, I'm a better person. Because he lives, my bills are paid. Oh, I wish I could test it. Because he lives, I confess tomorrow. Because he lives, my body is healed. Because he lives. You ask me why I know he lives? I call one more witness. His name is Joshua Joydara. He lives within my heart. As I'm standing in front of you, he lives in me. He walks with me. He talks with me. Everybody stand to your feet. I want to pray with you. If you don't know him as your Lord, and if you don't know him as your Savior, this is a time to say, Lord, come into my heart. Some of you may want to stand in the gap for your children. For your loved ones, some of you are married to spouses that don't know God. This ain't no joking matter. Religion with a dead God is going nowhere. But you serve a risen Savior. You want what you got for your children. You want what you got for your spouse. You want your community to be saved. Somebody ought to stand in the gap for their own church, for their own family. I'm going to open the door of the church. And if you're here today, you say, Lord, come into my heart. Lord, I'm standing in the gap for my children. Lord, I'm standing in the gap for my co-worker. I'm standing in the gap for my community. Find your way to the altar right now.
Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydara on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family. Thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Zion Hill Church family. To hear this sermon in its entirety or hear other sermons, visit our online sanctuary at zionhill.com. That's ZionHill.com, where faith finds its home and every soul is welcomed with open arms. Under the leadership of Pastor Joshua Joydara on the Hill in Pineville, Louisiana. If you're ever in the area, come and see what's going on at Zion Hill Church family.
KAY. WIT and KQJO-FM. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
I've done to let my Lord and Savior down. After all the times I chose to give in, how could he possibly still love me and extend to me his hand? How could I bow before him covered in so much sin? Sang in vain was my weekly occupation on center stage. Oh, I was broken and defeated, still with a carnal mind, problems and issues, yet so ashamed. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, grace and mercy pave the way. If only you believe, if only you receive.
He delivered me from the wiles of the enemy.
He delivered me.
Oh. He came and from the bottom of my heart to the depths of my soul.